The following is a paid presentation.
Welcome to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Ah, yes. It's that time of the year, Joe.
You seem later with it this year.
It seems later.
Yeah, it is.
Why is that?
And I mean, maybe it had to do with what happened last month.
You think?
I don't know.
You think? I mean, things have maybe been compressed or stretched out or whatever, but this is that time of the year where we start our annual You Can Be in a Home Before Christmas. And it may be a little more daunting this year than it was last year, obviously. And unfortunately, we have many people that are displaced who maybe cannot be at their homes for Christmas. So, you know, we hope the community is very good in Sonoma County about taking people in and helping folks get oriented and settled down. And we're seeing a lot of that in the community. And one of those issues we're going to be talking about today is how much housing is out there and what is the value. I'm delighted to have Bruce Ford here. Bruce is a long-term appraiser here in Sonoma County. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And we're going to chat about, you know, we're going to kind of talk about, is there a post-fire blip, which we think we agree there is. Is it sustainable? Where are prices going to go? I mean, just what pressures? I mean, as far as you, the appraisers, if you lose 5,000 houses and all your comps were burnt down, I did a market analysis on a property. I looked at the old appraisal of a year ago, and all the comps they had were gone.
That's true. In fact, before the fire, I did a VA property out near Mark West Springs, and I touched base. I turned in the report before the fire,
right,
and literally he had 7 minutes to get out.
Yep.
And I went back and looked at it after. And all the comps I used were gone.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Well, the good thing about it is that you had, you know, there's an appraisal there that shows, say, what the house looked like. You had photos, this kind of thing. So it's good. A friend of mine who lost his house, the same thing happened. He had just had his house refinanced or was in the process of refinancing. He had an appraisal done. So at least he had that in his hand. So when his insurance company came to him and said, well, what do you mean you had this much stuff in your house? He goes, mm-hmm. Look, here are the photos. You know, here's the square footage. Here's mm-hmm. the appraisal. And so that was kind of good. So we're going to get to Bruce here in a bit. We're glad to have him down here. I've been wanting to get an appraisal down here. And Bruce has got a really good pedigree here in Sonoma County. You know, he's like I am. He's probably overtly involved in everything. And so and I'll be delighted to chat with Bruce. But so, Joe, we're going to be in home before Christmas, so we have a whole bunch of Sundays we can play around. So you and I have to decide how we're going to make this thing work. We should have a contest, obviously. We have to have our trivia contest.
Right.
Right.
You already prepped that.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
I'm
geared up for that. So
you're the only Christmas movie
The only movie for Christmas there is.
Your version.
What movie, Joe, is that? And it's not A Wonderful Life.
No. See, you knew there was another
one. I know. That's because it's your favorite.
No, it's A Christmas Story.
Right.
Which is on, what?
TBS or something?
48 hours straight or something like that. Right around Christmas time. So yeah, this is Mike's show.
Yeah, and I was at the
Google
economic
it right now.
Yes, I was at the economic forecast breakfast the other day with Chris Thornburg, who is getting to be more of a stand up guy than he is a comedian, but he was basically we were chatting, you know, with the people there beforehand, and four people walked up to me and they said, "Is it time? Is it time for the Christmas Story?"
I said, I asked you that about what, a week or two ago?
You were a little. I said, you can't just, you got to do it, you know, the week of Thanksgiving.
It seems like we did it earlier before. But
am I right, Bruce? We all hate early
shop
Christmas
very late.
Stories.
Well,
yeah,
you know what made me
notorious.
Ask that? I was driving by a store, and I won't say which store, about 2 weeks ago, and the Christmas trees were already up. And that's what made me think of the Home for Christmas song, and I asked you about it 2 weeks ago. But
Well, one of our themes this week or this month are going to be shop local, because we need to really get our money into the coffers of local business people. They've been affected dramatically by it. If you have not gotten registered by FEMA, you know, there's incredible SBA financing out there. We had a panel, Bruce, on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We had a guy from FEMA, a gal from the state of California, and then a gentleman from SBA.
That's good.
And SBA is a small business administration. A lot of people think, well, those are business loans. Mm-hmm. They have incredible financing. Gap financing as low as 1.1%.
There you go. See.
Yeah. So, but you need to get registered with FEMA. Now, if you've been affected by the fire at all, if you've had a business and it's you've had a, you know, your business dropped or you had damage to your business, mm-hmm. I mean, you need to go to FEMA and get registered, because there's incredible financing out there. Obviously, if you've lost your house, you're probably already registered with FEMA, because they're clearing off mm-hmm. the lots. They've started doing mm-hmm. that. And they're moving. They have
big crews out there. SVA, I lived through the 1994 Northridge earthquake.
There you go.
And I sustained a SBA loan, and they were very cooperative.
Yeah.
The process was very fast.
Yeah.
I think it's a great resource.
Yeah, and SBA is a good loan to do anyway. If you're buying your business, or say you're in business and you're buying the building, you're working in, SBA is probably the best way to go. But they have gap financing and a lot of good stuff going. So make sure you're registered with FEMA. That's one of the things they told us. If you're not registered with FEMA, a lot of these programs aren't available to you. So our heads up for the day is to register with FEMA. Did you register at FEMA, John?
No, I did not.
You should be registered somewhere.
My other heads up for the day would be, For the shows for the next month, find out everything you can about the Christmas story, because there's going to be questions about it that I won't know the answers to, but Mike will.
Yes.
And then he'll give away some kind of, I don't know, whatever you got planned.
We're going
to
probably have
it
local.
It won't be a house, though.
No, probably not a house. No, we tried that last year. We couldn't sell that one. What we'll be doing is that, you know, the thing is that you can be into a home before Christmas. I mean, Bruce can get you an appraisal done pretty
That's
quick.
Right.
You were all over the place on the one we did on La Grande. And but if you're a cash buyer, guys, you can get in, okay? And Bruce and I are going to talk about some of the numbers and some of the terms of sales recently, and cash had a huge spike, as you can anticipate. You know, we had so many displaced people that have so much more resources and means, you know, in the Fountain Grove area and the Northeast, generally the area of Three Lee Valley. And they're coming in and they're paying cash. A lot of insurance checks have already been cut.
Yes.
A whole bunch of checks. A friend of mine got a check for $1.4 million the other day. You know, so there's a lot of money out there, and it's going into housing. And so we're going to come back and talk to Bruce about that. But so for the month, Joe, we got December 3rd, 10th, 27th, and then we're going to be here on Christmas Eve, Joe. Aren't you happy?
I'm thrilled.
You're thrilled, aren't
well,
you?
Well, you know, another thing, the next day, both the Warriors and the Raiders play on Christmas Day.
Get out of here.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Negotiations are going on.
Yes, in your household. Yeah. Which, who gets the remote? Yeah.
No, not the remote. I'm here for Warriors and Raiders.
Oh, you
games.
Are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got a TV set.
I run
set.
The board.
You can watch it.
Well, yeah, but
it's Christmas
you know,
Day.
It's
yeah.
Christmas Day. Plans are made. And then the Warriors being playing is was expected now, because they put the best team
yeah.
on. Of course, it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavs. But the added thing is the Raiders playing. So that means all day I am supposed to be here instead of family obligations.
Well, we'll have to bring you down some food or something.
Well, that might sound.
I live down the street. I'll bring you some cannolis, and I'll bring you some eggnog with a little spiker in it.
I don't think that would make my family feel any better, but it'll probably make me feel better.
Well, you got plenty of room here. Bring the family in. What the hell?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
Do we have a stove here? I know we got a microwave.
You'll figure it out. All right, well, we're going to take a break, come back more with Bruce Ford. We're going to talk about appraisal. You got any questions for Bruce, you can give us a call at 636-1350. You can always go to nodumbquestion@gmail.com. nodumbquestion@gmail.com, because in real estate, there are no dumb questions. We'll take a break, come back more. I'm Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour.
I'll be home for Christmas, where the love
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
And I've just really had it, frankly, with thoughts and prayers from my Republican colleagues after these tragedies.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts
Nobody
and prayers.
Elected us to give thoughts and prayers.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
I'll be home.
All right, it's that time of the year. We're going to try to get you into a home before Christmas. This is Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, 94.5 FM and 103.5 FM. And we have a cannoli call, which is, you know, we take all calls here on the Real Estate Hour.
And okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a cannoli call.
It's Carol Bianco. I'm the sister of Marilyn Sullivan.
Well, hi, Carol. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good because my reverse mortgage is making such a difference in this world, and you
right.
turned me on to Jill.
Oh, good. So great.
I have a wonderful reverse mortgage. And
that's Jill Grome over at Redwood Credit. She works over there in their offices.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What a wonderful woman. What
great.
A helpful
she's a terrific woman. Gal. Terrific gal.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, but my question, Mike, is, I listen to you every week, by the way. I never miss this show.
Thank you.
So ever since my sister was a guest on your show. So I'd really like to know where you get your cannolis, because I trust you may know where the good ones are. I used to make cannolis when I was 17, 18 years old.
Uh-huh. I should have my wife come on and give her her recipe. Actually, she has my mother's recipe for making cannolis. And
okay.
And she has actually the template my mother gave her on how big they have to be. You roll them in a pasta machine and blah, 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 blah. But then my brother Shannon, who was voted the number one catering company in the Napa Valley, he's in St. Helena, you can actually go get the shells and purchase the shells. And they're vastly superior to my wife's. I mean, my wife's are very good. But these are made, you know, they're delicate. They're really good. The thing about a cannoli is that you cannot have it sit. It's got to be, you know who has great cannolis here in town?
That's what I'm asking.
What's the Italian place, Bruce? Help me out here. Downtown, 4th Street. It's right there. It used to be next to the old... Hispanic place.
Sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
I'm drawing a total draw. Joe, just search Lower 4th restaurants. There's an Italian place.
Okay.
But they have the best darn cannolis down there. And the thing is, because they make it around on the spot, you have to take that shell, you have to make the filling, which is usually ricotta, whipped cream, and some sort of a citron if you want that kind of fruit. My wife puts chocolate chips in it for me.
I have chocolate chips. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, chopped cherries. I love chopped cherries. But you got to stuff it when you eat it. You got to stuff it, put a little powdered sugar over on it, you put the cherries on the end of it, then you eat them. If you let them sit around, you go to a bakery and they've been sitting there for a while, they're going to be soggy on the bottom. Nobody likes a soggy cannoli. All right.
Oh, horrible.
Yes.
I've been served a couple of them.
Stamp out soggy cannolis. That's my motto. All right. And no, so stay tuned. We're going to, you're listening to the show. We'll come on and give you the name of the restaurant. They're right downtown on 4th Street. And
thank
I can't
you,
think of it.
Thank you so much.
But good talking to you, and glad you had that reverse mortgage going for you.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Best
take
thing
care.
I did.
Okay. That's a good holiday question. Okay. How to get to.
Okay. Yeah.
So did you find a restaurant? Just do restaurants lower 4th, okay?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. Just do a map.
Not getting a very good response,
okay.
Actually, but let me work on it.
All right. You work on that. I'm going to introduce Bruce. So Bruce is a
Why
long...
Why don't you introduce Bruce?
Thank you. Bruce Ford is a longtime appraiser. You've been doing this for what? How many
25
years?
25 years.
25 years.
Yeah,
and
started...
you only look like you're 18 or something.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. I started in SoCal.
You're supposed to say, gee, you too, Mike. You look like you've been doing this since you were 18.
Remember, you're on Facebook Live.
So believe it or not, I grew up in Marin, but I started my appraisal career in SoCal. And about 25 years ago, you know, I hit the pavement, did a lot of networking. And those days, you know, you needed to be related by blood in order to find somebody to get you in the appraisal business. But I did it the hard way.
Yeah,
And
you guys are looking for more because the appraisal process, if people don't realize just how daunting to become an appraisal it is.
It,
I mean, there's like a servitude for like, God, how many years does that mean?
It's 2,500 hours
Holy
to be certified
Toledo.
Of logged experience.
Right.
You have to submit samples to the state. You have to do 200 hours of licensing. And then on top of that, continuing ed, 14 hours every year. But the good news is that the industry needs you. If you are young, coming out of college, if you are interested in a career change, we do have a local organization. And if you have a pen and paper, it's called the reaaca.org. And then you can click on chapters at the top of the banner and then scroll down to North Bay. And you can see our board of directors. You can see a member roster. So we have close to 100 appraisers here in the North Bay.
Wow.
We get together once a month. We do education.
Good.
And if you are interested, please come. And we'll have later on, I'll tell you about the educational seminar we're doing for our appraisers called Casualty Loss and Post-Disaster Valuation. We're going to do it on Tuesday, December 12th.
Timely.
Yeah, and it'll be from 9 to noon. We are gearing the seminar for appraisers. We're going to have an attorney. We're going to have an architect, one and the same person. And then also a developer, builder, local. And also we're going to have a CPA. We're going to have appraisers. One of our appraisers actually did over 3,000 valuations after the Oakland fires in 1991.
Wow.
So this is a huge amount.
Yeah, it's a lot of good history there. So what's the date again on that?
Tuesday, December 12th at the Petaluma Community Center.
What time?
That's going to be from 9 to noon. And I encourage you to come. General public is welcome, but we're going to seat our appraiser members first.
Sure.
But you're going to get a huge amount of information, and you're going to be able to talk to local appraisers who actually are the boots on the ground who will be doing these kind of evaluations in the years to come.
I may run down there after our realtor meeting. We have Tuesday is our realtor meeting, but that seems like very worthwhile. So let's talk about things because we had, you know, a terrific, horrific, you know, firestorm here. And, you know, you and I were discussing, you know, I think you were called in on the show years ago.
I did call in on the show.
Yeah.
And you had some great questions. And the reason I'm still passionate about what I do is because, you know, I'm a problem solver. You know what I mean? I want to give good customer service. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to solve these kind of purchase problems. I also do non-lender work, which is, you know, probate, estate, tax appeal, bankruptcy, and I can be hired directly by the homeowner or the CPA or the attorney an assignment.
Yeah, and if you're doing a stepped-up basis, you need maybe some forensic work done because it's been a while. You know, Bruce is a good guy to get that number. You can take that number to the bank with you, and it'll work with the IRS fine. So we had this horrific firestorm. We had 5,200 homes lost. So you take 5,200 families, all right, you yank away. All right, now let's talk about the product that was burned here, because it was kind of non-discriminatory. You had So tell me where they all fit into the pricing firmament, so to speak. So we have Coffee Park. We have Larkfield. Then we have Marquest Estates, the Marquest area, Northeast. Correct. And then we have Fountain Grove.
So it's great you mentioned that, Mike, because that was the first thing that struck me during the first week of the fire, how indiscriminate this fire was. The Coffee Park, I don't know if your listeners know this, but it's a very cookie-cutter, vanilla-tract area. The homes, you know, built in the 80s and late 70s, and some in the 90s, but they were very attractive. It was a well-built neighborhood. Lots of buyers continually came back to that neighborhood because it was a dependable, easy access kind of neighborhood, close to downtown, close to 101. Mm-hmm. And then Fountain Grove, which back in the day I did, I would say, 36 appraisals when that development was going in. And it was always to the high-end buyer.
All right.
Many of them had views. Few of them had pools. But it was made for the kind of buyer that wanted that kind of high-end situation. And I understand that many of the Kaiser doctors lost quite a few homes.
Yeah, 248, I think, doctors lost their houses.
So it's frightening the scope and devastation that went along with this. So you were talking about supply. Already we were near record lows in terms of our inventory. Now you've wiped out, you know, over 5,000 homes in this scenario. You're going to have to make up that somehow. I'm glad that the insurance companies are stepping up and getting the funds to the residents quickly. I hope many of the residents stay in Sonoma County. I would hate to have anyone leave here strictly based on this devastation because, as you know, we're a wonderful place to live. Everybody, that's the jewel of Northern California,
sure.
And this is the kind of place that people want to raise their families.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Thornburg spoke, I don't know if you were at the Economic Breakfast the other day, but Chris has been coming up here for years. He was called Dr. Doom originally because he called the whole, you know, the Big Short. He was one of the guys that called
that. Oh, yes, of course.
And I was remembering when he was up here and he told us what prices were going to do. We all just went, nah, what is he, crazy? And sure enough, they reacted violently going down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about that there's usually an uptick, you know, because of the spending that's going to go on. Mm-hmm. So we had, but he also said there's displacement.
That's right. And this is a distressed market. I know the inventory has stress points on it, but this is a distressed market.
Right.
And it's going to take us a while to work our way through this in terms of building new housing stock, hopefully as many of the displaced people sticking around as long as possible, perhaps going to a different market for the short term, you know, Petaluma, Sonoma, Rohnert Park, and then coming back.
Lake County, Mendocino. I mean, there's some, you know, the thing is that we're talking about, here we're coming into Christmas.
Correct.
The holiday season. So what do you think about? You think about people that would work probably for the service sector, you know, in stores, retail, because we need more clerks. But where do those people go? See, that's an issue.
It's a strong issue. We've had pressures on our rental market even before the fire.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be the uptick on that and the pressure on prices and rental stock is
right.
Going to be here for a long time. It's sad to say. I mean, that rents will go up in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable. I know a situation where a rental property is now going for double what it was before the fire.
Wow.
And so because insurance companies have been able to get these checks to these displaced homeowners, they've been able to walk in, get a property right away.
Yeah, and they're coming in and they're saying, "You want how much? You want $5,000? We'll give you $10,000."
Right.
You know, because they have the money. The insurance companies, you know, is taking care of that. So, but I'm going to come back and first I'm going to ask Bruce to think about this. But I want to know, what's this market doing now? How long do you think it's going to go the way it is today, which is kind of a feverish pace? When will it slow down? When will we maybe, is there a normal market in California? And by normal, I mean 4 to 6 months inventory. We'll come back with Bruce Ford, noted appraiser here in Sonoma County. We will return with the Real Estate Hour. Call a number 636-1350 right back after these words.
If only
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Republican Senator Susan Collins says the GOP proposal to repeal the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate as part of a tax overhaul is a mistake.
I want to see changes in that bill, and I think there will be changes.
She was on ABC's This Week. The House has already passed its tax reform plan. State TV in Zimbabwe says President Robert Mugabe will shortly address the nation. The 93-year-old's been ordered to resign by noon Monday or face impeachment. Scary moment and a windy morning in New York City after a scaffolding collapse.
The scaffolding collapsed in this busy part of Soho here in Lower Manhattan. Broadway is closed and there are fire trucks idling in the street. The wooden planks from the scaffolding spilled out onto the pavement. The fire department treated a few people right here on the scene, but there were no serious injuries to report.
ABC's Aaron Katursky, five people were hurt. Country Music Hall of Famer Mel Tillis has died at 85. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KSRO. Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Mostly dry today, rain though coming back, mostly cloudy at 61, 57 on the coast, some rain late tonight, low 47, 50 on the shores, overcast and rain for tomorrow at 61, 59 in Bodega Bay, Tuesday we should see overcast morning showers at 67, 62 on the coastline, depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503. Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour. We start the holiday season. Thanksgiving is coming up, so I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully you will be into a home before Christmas, either as a rental or, you know, hopefully you'll have some shelter. And you know, we lost 5,200 houses, and we're trying to figure out where all those people are going to be going to. Then also, where's pricing going? How are we going to figure out just what homes are worth? And I'm delighted to have Bruce Ford in the studio. Bruce, good morning again.
Good morning.
And Bruce is a noted appraiser here in Sonoma County. They're having a great class on kind of dealing with the issues of, you know, post-fire appraisals, and that's going to be, once again, the
date? It's going to be on Tuesday, December 12th, between 9 and noon at the Petaluma Community Center. It's on North McDowell. I don't have the address off, but you know everybody who's in Petaluma knows the Petaluma Community
Center. Just look
for
the ducks and the geese.
Ducks and the geese. Tuesday, December 12th, between 9 and noon. This is geared toward appraisers. The title is Casualty Loss and Post-Disaster Valuation, but we are opening it up to particularly victims of our recent fire disasters. If you think you're going to be needing an appraisal, or do you think you have valuation issues where you might need one of our experts, and I got to tell you, I'll give you the website right now, www.reaaca.org. And just go on the website. You'll see chapters in the upper bar. Click on the chapters, scroll down to the North Bay, and you'll find a member roster button. So you're close to 100 North Bay appraisers. Our average tenancy expertise is over 20 years.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's because it just takes forever to become an appraiser.
Right.
Yeah, you guys, it's I don't know if it's the state that does that to you. Or
it's a combination of federal and state guidelines. And it's hard for us to keep up. I mentioned to Mike at the break, we 10 years ago, we had 20,000 appraisers in California.
Yeah.
Now, today, we have less than 10,000.
Yeah.
We really want people who would think about, hey, if you like detail, if you like data, if you like numbers, if you like doing something different every day, that, you know, one day I could be in Napa, another day I could be in
Nevada. That's why I'm in real estate, because I could, same thing with me, I'm all over the place. But let's, so that'll be, we're going to put that on our Facebook page. We'll put it on the the realestatehourblog.com, so you can check that out, and we will chat. And let people know about that. Bruce, you'll send me the information on that to the right email address, by the way.
Correct.
Okay. Joe, what is that? I'm sorry, I didn't get this.
She asked something about, you said something about a breakfast after a real estate meeting on Tuesday. Does that ring a bell?
Well, we have a Tuesday realtor meeting every Tuesday at the Vets Hall, but it's just open to realtors.
Okay,
the one Bruce is talking about is going to be actually open, it seems like, maybe to the public, but you're going to seat your appraisers first.
Correct.
So if you get a full house, you're going to be busy.
Correct.
There.
And we're going to have experts, an attorney and an architect, or one and the same, a CPA, an actual local builder who's actually working with the city and the county to help rebuild Coffee Park.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting. So let's talk prices. Okay, now obviously we've had a spike. I mean, this has been going on now for about a month, and you know, I told you about a sale that happened in Lakewood Hills that was almost $400,000 over the asking price.
Correct.
It closed a week after the fire, so we're seeing numbers. I spoke with a number of people at the economic breakfast the other day who were making offers 100, 150, 200,000 over the asking price. And these are homes that are over $1 million.
It's alarming.
Yeah, it's alarming. So how do you guys see this?
Well, you're going to see a big influx of cash in the short term within the market. And every time cash comes in, it tends to inflate prices, especially on the short term. Mike just shared a statistic with me. He said 38% of the Sonoma County transactions were all cash. That is, when I started tracking this back 4 years ago, I think it was in the 20s.
Yeah, and it normally always is. We've had this huge surge.
Yeah.
And we also had a huge surge in under contract properties over $1 million. It's up tremendously. So, you know, you see, we're now seeing this post, you know, sale blip. You know, and I think it's obviously driven by people getting cash, getting their money, and looking for houses.
That's it. It's the cash buyers who are will drive the prices. Now, this is a great inside baseball moment for the appraisal. When I actually am starting to pull comps and I'm actually doing a purchase, I will never put all cash transactions as in all my comps. I typically use 5 or 6 comps. I haven't used 3 comps, you know, in 2 decades.
Right.
So I really extract the most recent data in my neighborhood and try and reconcile the sales that are in the market. I will call up realtors like Mike and say, Mike, what are the details?
Sure.
Any concessions? Was this an all-cash fire? Did they recently get, or were they recently a victim of the fire?
Right.
So that would be, that cuts to the chase in terms of what we define as market value, which is a willing buyer and a willing seller acting with knowledge.
Right. And now how are you going to, you're going to start seeing some loans coming through where you're going to have some prices. You're going to go, what?
Yeah.
Holy Toledo. So now this is going to put, an incredible amount of pressure on you guys. So what is the mechanics of trying to justify? Because you're going to have to come into the lender and say, you know, they go, hey, we have this sale that's $300,000 over the last comp, you know, which was like 3 months ago.
So this is the thing that good appraisers do. They reconcile the market differences and they come up with an answer that actually reflects a true market value. And when you have these distressed amount of moments going through, meaning this huge inflation of cash, I could be tracking the number of homes that trade over 10% over asking or 10% over market value.
Right.
That is interesting to me. I pull a lot of data when I do a purchase. Mike and I worked together on a purchase down in Bennett Valley, and I went in and I tried to find the most recent sales that were reflective of this property that was on acreage. So to answer your question, it really takes brain power,
yeah,
data in order to analyze. Plus, pick up the phone.
Yeah. It's good to if you can, to use a local appraisal. And unfortunately now, the how appraisers are arrived at sometimes is you right. get, you know, some people from Joe Blow,
Let me give you a tip to anyone who's getting a refi, or, you know, this gentleman or lady will come to your house and they're an appraiser. Ask them if they are geographically competent. What does that mean? Are they from the area? You know, are they within, let's say, 20 or 25 miles? I grew up in Marin. I have no problem going to Sausalito or Bolinas
sure.
because I know those markets. So, but I during the meltdown, I was trying to buy a rental house, and the gentleman came from Lodi. After I picked my jaw up off the floor, I said, well, what do you know about this? I started quizzing him about all these other submarkets, and the gentleman was stumped.
Well, can somebody actually request a local appraiser?
When you make your appointment, let's say you're doing a refi and you're a homeowner, and you can actually say, how far are you coming from? And you can ask them questions about your neighborhood, be it, you know, Sonoma County, Sebastopol, Petaluma, east side versus west side. I always extract data. I know what those markets are doing. I know the submarkets within those markets.
Right.
So I know not to go too far. If I have to go...
But we get a schmuck who's like from Lodi. So what do? Can we say to our lender, I want a local guy?
That's it. You can push back if you believe that the person that was being hired to come to your property is not locally competent.
So there's this thing about, you know, we call it, you know, agent law, where sometimes it's truth, it's usually not. It's usually agents repeat things over and over again.
Right.
So there's this, like... pool in the sky someplace of appraisers. You're all up there in the Ethernet, and we go. Mm-hmm. And now that it's always neutral, we can't talk to you guys, you know, all that stuff. It's pulled down on high by this lender. We don't know who it is, who determines that you can come and what they're going to pay you.
Right.
Do we have an actual way to determine who's going to work on our property?
Many of the lenders have what's called approval lists.
Right.
So I'm approved with probably 80 or 90 lenders. So there's a strong chance if you're getting an appraisal with one of the large lenders, be it, you know, Wells or Chase or a local, one of our credit unions, I may be on that list. But as far as controlling who's going to come to the property, your pushback is one of competency. You want to make sure that that person is working in your market and has not come a great distance.
Okay, but what if the lender says, well, geez, you know, we can't really pick anybody? Is that a fallacy, or can they actually their appraisal cadre they use?
The way the law works, and this is Dodd-Frank, so this goes back a few years, but the way the law works is it was set up so there was an electronic firewall. So in the old days, pre-08, many appraisers associated with mortgage brokers.
Yeah.
And the mortgage broker would say, call up and go, Bruce, go to 123 Main Street. And I go, fine.
And then give me this price, Bruce.
And that, Mike just hit the nail on the head. That was happening.
Right.
That price pressure, or that pressure of the appraiser to hit a number despite what the market value was real. And that's what led to this Dodd-Frank law.
Yeah.
There was other disasters called the HVCC, but basically it says that between the loan production, meaning people are actually getting a commission, and the appraisal ordering, there has to be an electronic firewall. So these companies have a separate department that will maintain the appraisal list, make sure that the license is current, make sure they've got the guidelines set.
Yeah, and so if you're working with a local lender, and there are numbers that we use that are usually okay. I mean, you know, now you actually work with Quicken, which is good to see that Quicken is smart enough to use local appraisers.
Correct.
Because my problem has always been with Quicken is that there's an entity in the sky someplace, and I have no idea where they are, but I know you, and I know the work you do, so that immediately sets me okay. I say, okay, fine, at least you're using a good appraisal.
Just a tidbit on that. It's called AMCs, appraisal management companies. So whether it's Quicken or Wells Fargo, they have these departments set up, AMCs, that will order the appraisal, contact the appraisal, give the name and number, and go forward from there.
Great. Well, we have a call on the line. Oh, by the way, the restaurant is Lococos. Okay, so it's 117 4th Street, best cannolis in town, Lococos. Floyd, what can we do for you?
Well, hi. I was curious. You, I think, have an appraiser there. And
I do. His name is Bruce Ford.
Okay. Looking for condos, and having a hard time figuring out what, like, the, I think they go by dollar per square foot or something.
Okay. So,
so Floyd, I didn't know if you're an appraiser and you had a, an opinion.
I do have an opinion.
What a condo, like, I don't know, a 1,000 square foot condo would be fairly priced at in this market.
Well, that's, it's, I don't want to put Bruce on the spot on that one, but because that's pretty much, that could be across the board. And by the way, there's only 23 condos currently available in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. That's 23 condos for a population of 500,000. Mm-hmm. So you're very limited as to what you're going to be looking at anyway. But condo versus a house square foot, just real simply.
Condo has typically always been the opening price point where first-time buyers can get in at a reasonable rate.
Right.
And with the forces we mentioned earlier on terms of inventory, condos are going to find the same pressure
yeah.
as a single-family
yeah,
house.
Yeah, definitely.
It just
definitely.
Goes without saying. It, Floyd, what areas are you searching in?
That's right. I think Floyd's off the phone now. But let's just say, you know, just say Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa has some great complexes and projects for first-time buyers. I would really look at something where it's close to either work or it's close to the freeway. Or I would drive the development during the day and during the evening. I'd look at the upkeep. I'd also, you know, look at resources. Mike, I'm sure you provide comps to potential
sure.
buyers, and you say, well, here's the last three or four sales in the project.
Yeah, and the thing about the condos, like you say, there's I mean, you can go to the Cherry Stems off of West 9th, where they're mm-hmm. extremely affordable, to Bennett Valley, mm-hmm. you know, where you're into a more of a PUD kind of situation, or, you know, like Lakewood Hills or
Found Grove had a few.
Yeah. So they're all across the board, but like if you were looking at it, just an average square footage cost, would you even care to venture that?
Or I don't have that data.
Yeah, it's real hard to do. So I think you just look at the comparable sales.
You do. Floyd, if look for the most recent sales
yeah.
in the project,
right.
and really decide what you need. If you're a single guy and you just need a one bedroom, that's fine. If you've got a couple or children, a two or three bedroom is more desirable.
Sure, sure.
And Mike knows it's more marketable having
yeah.
a two and three
bedroom. And you'll see the square footage. Believe me, it'll stand out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was telling Bruce off the air that one sale, I think we talked about it on the air, where it went over 400,000 over the asking price. So that takes your square foot cost and throws it through the roof. So Bruce's job is to come in and say,
support.
What's the 650 yeah. bucks a square foot versus everything else that sold for 450 mm-hmm. bucks a square foot?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that you and your agent will do. He'll look at it and go, that's an anomaly. That's
right.
just not the marketplace here. Mm-hmm. So the square footage costs, they're out there. Just have your agent do a comp, just run a CMA, a market analysis of the area of that mm-hmm. particular complex, which you can do at our MLS very simply. And that'll give you an idea of what the square footage cost is.
Yeah. And the CMA is a viable asset. I even use it myself in terms of pulling comps. I want a range of the market.
Right.
Typically, I want to go back 12 months, 6 months, 3 months, find the most appropriate
yeah.
comps.
But it's going to be – and the reason we – the reason you're here is that's going to be a real tough thing to do.
It is.
And it's not something you want to go in there by yourself. I mean, if you – the amateur should stay away from trying to figure this one out because it's
yeah.
going to be a doozy and it's going to take, some really machinations to figure out
right.
just what things are selling
right.
for. What is artificial – how long do you think this is going to last? Is it going to last for the duration of the build out? And then the question, the bigger question I have, and we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right to the top of the hour here because I want to hear what Bruce has to say. What are those homes going to look like at Coffee Park at the end of the day?
I think there's going to be a homeowner input. I think there's going to be government and county resources, and I think they're going to be wanting to rebuild, from what I've heard, rebuild Coffee Park the way it was. There is going to be pressure. They were built as a tract. I wasn't there when it was built, Mike.
Right.
Maybe you were. Did they have 5 or 6 models,
right.
All the way from a 3-bedroom to a 5-bedroom, a 1 or 2-story, 2 and 3-car garage? Homeowners should have options,
mm-hmm.
but I think you believe the same way it is. I want to see these developments, especially Coffee Park, rebuilt as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, the bigger question is what price?
At what price?
See, because, we're talking square footage here. So we've been hearing just all sorts of different square footages.
Exactly.
We've heard Gallagher's got seven models that he's going to be putting forth to the home ownership there. I think you've got to do big numbers there to make it work and to get these homes built and economy of scale. I had Dick Dowd on last week on the show. Dick is very heavily involved with the Builders Exchange, and they're trying to come up with some sort of an idea of what prices are going to be. They're even thinking about scaling back building codes to be post, you
2010,
know,
I heard.
Yeah, something like that. So because they add so much more cost per square foot, I don't think the city will do that. I think it would be all sorts of legal issues pop up about that. But so what do you think? I mean, $350 a foot, $400 a foot?
I've heard both those figures. We are going to have a gentleman from APM Homes at our December 12th event in Petaluma, and he's a local developer, and he's done quite a few developments here in Santa Rosa. So our appraisers and the general public are going to be asking the same question, Mike, is what can we expect as a price point? And the 350 to 4 figure for the low end has been bantied about.
Right.
We use cost, we extract cost figures, you know, Marshall and Swift and so forth. And I want to make sure that my data is as close to the truth as possible.
Yeah, because they're going to probably come to you when these houses are done, and they may have to get and I think the big shoe to drop is going to be the uninsured.
Correct.
And that we're going to need plenty of gap financing or financing. So they're going to come to you guys, and okay, you're going to get a new loan. Maybe people will have the house built and then sell it. So they're going to come to you and say, what is this house worth?
Correct.
And that's going to be fun.
It's very difficult. In the long term, I'd like to see as many of the displaced homeowners come back to their original spot, maybe not on the same street or in the same address, but in that, because those people, I mean, neighborhoods are made up of people and families, and those families were able to actually build a life there, and you want them to come back and nurture this community in a way and bring it back to where it was.
Yeah, I think we're in a, you know, and I this may sound rather coarse, but I think we're in a win-win situation in Coffee Park because it's going to be rebuilt. It'll be rebuilt as obviously new homes. That's going to do tremendous things for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, the quality of some of those homes over there would let a lot to be desired. I mean, Tux built a great house, and a lot of Tux's homes survived, and Tux is in the mix there. Also, Gallagher builds a good house. So we should, I think the overall quality of the home will be up. You'll have, you know, sprinklers on the other stuff because I don't think the city's going to relinquish that, even though many of my builder friends say that is a huge cost and they're right. But I think it's all going to be, you know, settled and factored into the cost of everything. So you're going to have a whole new subdivision over there. It's like a brand new subdivision.
It is.
But the homes are going to be what? Seven, six, seven, eight? I mean, I don't know, Bruce. See, that's the thing that's got us all kind of perplexed.
It's very perplexing. I hope that there is a gathering, I mean, a community working together, a collaborative episode where we've got the homeowners, the city, the county, the lenders, you know, the appraisers will be in the mix too. And we want to make sure that these homes are actually affordable in terms of those baseball, but they actually get back into the properties that they lost as quick as possible.
Yeah, well, we have to because obviously there's an article in the PD about the city spending money like drunken sailors. You know, and we had David Gouin on the show, you know, months ago, and he was quoted in the newspaper saying he's out getting staff. He has to get staff so they can get these deals processed.
Labor shortage. Think about plumbers, electricians.
Exactly. Well, not only that, where are you going to put them, number one? I've heard tales of they may rebuild the Hilton and the hotel below and make them into apartments, long-range apartments for the next 2 or 3 years for all those people that got to come up here and build all these houses. Because we're not talking, you know, a 100-lot, 200-lot subdivision, guys. We're talking 1,000 houses in Coffee Park as it is. Another how many in Fountain Grove and up in the north? I mean, it's just going to be a tremendous rebuild. So they need to get these houses built. They need to get a tax base again. All right.
Yeah, this is short term. You had the gentleman, Bill Rousseau, on
right.
2 weeks ago.
And
he was a tax assessor, and he was talking about the short-term hole
right.
that the county is going to be under. So this puts pressure on our schools,
yep.
puts pressure on government services.
And it could be like up to $30
million. I mean, $30 million.
It's going to be a big number.
And I don't know if they talked about federal help. In terms of getting filling
that gap. I think we're probably going to see hopefully a lot of that, though I haven't heard Mr. Trump say one thing about our fires in Northern California. But getting back to let's talk more diminutive of value, because I have a friend of mine who lived in Miramonte. He's one of five houses left out of 40 that burned.
Wow.
So, and Bill was on, and I said, well, he gets reduced value, right? He goes, no. I go, why not? I mean, how can you sell a house with a toxic waste dump around you mm-hmm. or in a construction zone? So the question was, okay, he says, well, you got to show me a comp. Well, they're all burned out. Mm-hmm. So how do you see, that's the question. So so here we have people that are kind of the remainder houses, Bruce, mm-hmm. And they're going, well, my house is not worth what it was before, mm-hmm. Mr. Tax Assessor. So, but how do you prove that?
He put out one statistic that you have to have a 10% structural damage in order, to get help or to walk away.
Yeah.
So the way I'll explain it is that you will get a supplemental tax bill from the county. Under the improvements, there'll be a big zero there. But you will still have to pay tax on the land.
Yeah, right. But if you're one of the ones remaining, and there's four or five, you're last of the four or five, you're last of the Mohegans, and everybody else is burned around you. How do you figure out, okay, how can I sell my house? Now, you and I, you're an appraiser, I'm a realtor. Yeah. If you came to me and said, Mike, I want to sell my house here in Miramonte, mm-hmm. and I'm going, what are you, nuts? you can't get anywhere near your value. Who's going to want to buy in an area where there's nothing but burned out homes or live in a construction zone for the next 4 or 5 years? Mm-hmm. That, to me, you'd think there would be a diminutive value there.
There will be a diminutive value. What we have to figure out is we have to get enough sales in order to actually extract a value that we can support. And that hasn't happened yet. It's going to take time.
Yeah, the shoe's got to drop for the sales. Like about the land cost, we've heard some land sales in Coffee Park for $130,000. Mm-hmm. I heard one in Fountain Grove for $300,000. Mm-hmm. So are you starting to see, and is your group monitoring these sales?
We're monitoring the sales,
land sales.
It's to me is you have to have a strong enough base of data in order to extract an answer that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet. So the shorthand answer is we need time to go by and we need sales to take place.
Right.
And we have to dig deeper and follow the motivations behind the buyer and the seller.
Yep.
I mean, is this a bottom feeder? I mean, coming in, developer, I'll buy as many lots as possible and at the lowest price and then make a fortune?
Yeah.
Is this person local?
Right.
These are very strategic questions that I have to ask.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. It's going to be going on for a while. So, Bruce, give us your contact information.
It's really easy. 707-732-6403. My email address is easy, too. It's brucejford@yahoo.com. brucejford@yahoo.com. I'm willing to answer questions. If you're a displaced homeowner, I'd like to see you on Tuesday, December 12th at the Petaluma Community Center from 9 to noon.
Great. Bruce, thanks for coming in. I knew it was going to fly by. We'll have to get you back on. Maybe we'll do it after your class you have.
Yes.
And we can maybe have some of those people on also.
I'd like to come back.
Sounds
definitely
good. Bruce, thanks a lot for coming. I'm Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour. Give me a call if you want to talk about real estate. You can always reach me at 322-8503. 322-8503. This has been the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. Bruce, thanks again for coming in. You can be in a home before Christmas. Contact me. We'll get you in. We'll see you next Sunday on the Real Estate Hour.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on the Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.
The Priest.